Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church today? Glory to God. Well, if you're not, we'll get you there. Amen. Just follow some. Follow your neighbor. Praise the Lord, because your neighbor's going on in, so you might as well go with them. Amen. Praise God. Well, God's good today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got the first row in on it. The rest of the rows want to join in. Praise the Lord. God's good today. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't have to like me, but you got to like God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the ones that save your sorry butt. So you got to make sure that you like the one that saves your sorry butt. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'm excited to preach the word today, as I always am. I'm always excited. I just still can't believe that God lets me do this. I can't believe that God has me do this. I can't believe that God could have me do this. Praise the Lord. All that, all the above, but praise the Lord. God is good, and he saved me and helped me. Amen. And now he's going to help you too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today's message is called Preach It Christian. Hallelujah. Wait, I've got to see that up there. I wonder, maybe it's not in there. Preach It Christian. Oh, there it is. Hallelujah. Preach It Christian. Hallelujah. First, I was going to say Preach It Brother, but I remember we had some sisters in here too, so we can't just say Preach It Brother, and then we can't just say Preach It Sister, because we have brothers in here. So it's just Preach It Christian. Amen. And so if you're a brother, well, praise the Lord, then we're saying Preach It Brother. And if you're a sister, we're saying Preach It Sister. But above all, we have to know this. We're just saying Preach It. Glory to God. You got to learn how to preach it. Amen. Now, you thought preaching was my part, my job, and it is, praise the Lord, in this place, in the pulpit. But one of my jobs, what part of my job is to teach you how to go out and preach it, so you can preach it to the world, so you can preach it to your circumstance, so you can preach it to your situation, so you can preach it to your neighbor, so you can preach it to your family and your friends. Amen. Because the only thing that's going to change anything in this world is the word. God, amen. It's not man's ideas. It's not man's thoughts of what church should be. It's not man's ideas of what church should be. It's only what the Word of God says, amen. And we have to learn that as Christians. We have to know that the way that we change all our situation is by preaching it, amen. Is by preaching at it. Praise the Lord. God has given us such a wonderful thing in His Word, amen. Now I love the fact that Jesus is called the Word, but we know the Word of God also manifests as the Bible. And I don't know if you've ever seen these little red things coming out of you. Ever seen one of these? A lot of people think these are placeholders, but these are not placeholders. These are to show you which end is down and which end is up. See, when I look down, I can't see the side, so I just look for the red tail hanging out, and I know that's down, amen? Unless I put it in upside down, which I rarely ever do, so maybe my family might mess with me at some point, but praise the Lord for the Word of God, amen? Glory to God. God is good. He loves us, amen? The Word of God is our inheritance. Amen. God woke me up early this morning and dealt with me on some things. Praise the Lord. I think it was like 3:30 I got up this morning. And one of the things he dealt with me on is how the Word of God is our inheritance. Amen. We have to understand this. The Word of God is it's the culmination. You know, you can own something, praise the Lord, but the one who has the title is the one who has legal possession to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could legally own a car or a house, or I could just own a car or a house. I could have paid for it. But somebody else has possession of the title, and they're the ones who are legally obligated. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Some things, you know, just depending on how they work out, some things have gotten put in my wife's name. Some things have been put in my name. You know, and for example, I think is the propane bill in my name? Or the gas bill used to be in my name. We had a gas bill when we lived in Jamestown years ago, and it used to be in my name. Now they're all in her name, praise the Lord. But it used to be in my name, and one of the things that they would want if we called in is they'd want to know who they were speaking to, because only certain people had right to do anything on the account, amen? Of course, in the church, we have the same thing. Sometimes, every once in a while, I get a call from office staff or something like that because, you have to agree to something because your name's on the account, amen? Well, see, we have to understand that about a title. That's what a title is for. That's what, that kind of the idea is for. But the Word of God is that for us. It's our title. It's the proof of what God has done, and it's the proof. It's what gives us the right to receive the things of God. Amen. And so we have to understand, though there's many promises in the Bible, there's a lot of things that the Bible says that belong to us, a lot of things that Jesus paid for, but it's the Bible that proves that it's ours. It's the Bible that tells us what we get. You know, we were talking about the Fredonia church there and how they went through that fire last year. You know, one of the things that you find out is exactly what you're covered for. Yeah. when you go through something like a fire. You know, you think, well, my coverage will cover all this stuff. You just get insurance generally for things, and you think, well, it covers me for this or that. But see, when you really find out is after something happens, and then you find out what all the fine print said, and you know, well, we'll cover this, but we won't cover that, or we'll cover this, but not this, you know, and all those things. And a lot of times people don't read the fine print. Well, the same thing goes with the scripture. A lot of Christians don't really get in and read the fine print and find out what exactly is theirs. And so they go to God in a way of prayer, wondering if God will actually answer them or not. And the thing is we're never meant to do that. We're to go to God knowing that he's going to answer us. And how do we know he's going to answer us? Because the word tells us he will. The word tells us he will, and then the word also tells us what belongs to us. And so if we know those things, then we never have to question. We never have to go to God, Lord, is it your will? Because we can get into the word and find out. And so we need to know the word. But one of the things that the word tells us is the importance of speaking the word or preaching the word, amen? And so a lot of times when we want to get out of a situation or we're in a situation, we don't know what to do. And the best thing that you can do is preach the word. Of course, you know, we preached last week about about worship and the importance of worship and how worship will get us through and out of any trial, and that's true. Of course, that's found in the word, amen? A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't like to worship, but they don't like the word either because the word tells us that we must worship, amen? Well, praise God. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4:2. Praise God, hallelujah. Are we awake today? Hallelujah. We don't want to not receive because we're sleepy. Praise the Lord. We want to preach it. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:2. Praise the Lord. I don't need response because I enjoy response. It doesn't bother me one bit, actually. The word requires response. Amen. The Bible says the amen is spoken. That's why we speak it. That's why we connect with it. Praise the Lord. We recognize that it's truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:2. Did I say 2 Timothy? Yeah, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, exclamation mark. Preach the word. Now, in context, I'm going to tell you this is written to a pastor. Amen. But we know that the whole scripture applies to all of us. Amen. And so what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Amen. What's good for one is good for another. Praise the Lord. If the preacher has been told to do this, well, it wouldn't hurt you to do it too. Amen. Preach the word. Hallelujah. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. But preach the word. I love the next line. Be ready in season and out of season. You know, this is something that I've learned over the years. This is something that, when I first started pastoring, I wasn't sure about preaching the word at all. I wasn't sure how I was going to be able to do it. I wasn't sure how I was going to be able to come up with a sermon every single week, you know. And of course, there's a preparation that is needed on the part of a minister. But also in people, there's a preparation that's to be done on your part, amen? A lot of people think their preparation was just, you know, I got ready to go to church and I showed up today. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you showed up. But that's not your preparation. You should be prepared when you come into church. You should be prepared to receive. And how do we do that? By staying before the word, by having the word in us so we know it, so we understand it. So when things are preached, they're not a surprise to us, so we can recognize the Spirit of God when he talks to us. Amen? It's very important to be ready in season and out of season. And what does that mean? Like, well, it's really easy. If I tell her, you know, I think you need to preach next weekend, well, she has a whole week to prepare for it. That's really easy. But there's been times where I woke up on a Sunday morning and I said, I don't have it, but I think you do. Amen. And so in that case, she has to get ready really quickly. Amen. I've had to get ready an hour before I've preached before. I haven't had a message. There's been times when we were driving to church and the message dropped in me at that point because I still didn't have it. I was ready. See, I had prepared myself. I had spent time in the Word. I had spent time in prayer. And my wife spends time in the Word and spends time in prayer. So what does that mean? She's ready in season and out of season. I'm ready in season and out of season. Even when it doesn't seem like it's a season for me to go, you can be ready. Well, the same thing applies to all of us as Christians. When we're going through life, how many know that something might surprise you this week? Something might pop up that you weren't expecting. It might be a bill. It might be a person. It might be a thing. It might be a, you know, something with your job. It might be something in your home. It might be a sickness. It could be all kinds of things. What's the answer to it? Preaching the word. Amen. It's not complaining about it. It's preaching the word. Well, we have to be different than the world is. And this is one thing. This is something that is supposed to separate Christians from the rest of the world, and something that I would say rarely separates Christians from the rest of the world. And that's the fact that they will, that they're supposed to preach the word. And when I say rarely, I mean that Christians don't partake of that. Christians look more like the world more times than not because they just fall into doing what the world does. Well, if something happens, they're just going to complain about it. If something, I just can't, I'm going to tell you right now, praise the Lord, I don't have Facebook anymore. And one of the reasons is because I'm a pastor and I couldn't stand to look at people that I'm connected to on Facebook. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. Because you see stuff that's posted all the time, like people putting their business out there. Like, you know, you don't even have to worry about it. And then they say, you know, they yell at somebody else when they start talking about, when you start talking about their business, they're like, oh, you know, don't you talk about my, well, you've been posting your business all over the place. Amen. You've been telling everybody. You haven't left anything up to the imagination. You've let everybody know. Listen, Facebook is great for posting nice flowery pictures of your dog. I post pictures of my dog on Instagram, not Facebook. Praise the Lord. I use Instagram because there's not a lot of words. You could just do pictures. Amen. And I like that. You could put pictures of your meal, your vacation, all these wonderful things. But dear Jesus, leave your personal life off the stinking internet. I mean, everybody is looking at who's cheating on who and who's sleeping with who and all this stuff. It's like, the world doesn't need to know that. And if you go to church, if you say that you go to this church, don't be out there posting stupid stuff, because everybody, it reflects on us. Reflects on the rest of us. We don't want that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just be a Facebook stalker or something like that. You know, you just look at other people's stuff and don't praise the Lord. But yeah, I mean, come on. People, Christians out there posting stuff they have no worldly business posting. Why? I'm not just hammering Facebook. I'm just talking about this idea. What that idea is it's something, you know, people have this in them that they want to share all their garbage with everybody. Praise the Lord. I'm not a garbage receptacle. I don't want to receive everybody's garbage. Amen. That's why I don't just let people dump on me. I don't let people just dump all their garbage on me. If you got a problem, we need to fix it. Let's figure out what the problem is, get to the fix, and then that's it. We don't need to sit here, you know, with hours and hours and hours of garbage. You know what I mean? And so often, this is what people are accustomed to. You know, the counseling world has kind of done this. I'm not saying all counselors are bad, but this has happened a lot in the counseling world, where you just sit there and dump on someone for an hour or so. Well, praise the Lord. You want to pay me $60 an hour to dump on me? Maybe we could talk then. But you know what I'm saying? I'm just joking. That's a complete joke. Praise the Lord. God has not intended us to be like that. Christians are intended to preach the word at it, to be able to speak the word at it. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm not refuting counseling and stuff like I counsel with people. It's a good thing. It's a great thing when people want to be helped, and counselors do a wonderful job. Amen. But this idea in the world that you just pour out everything all the time, instead of just dealing with it. Amen. And that's not the way that we want to live. We want to deal with what God has or what the devil brings against us. Praise the Lord. With what God has given us. With and how God has given us to deal with it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And the way we do that is by preaching the word. Hallelujah. Being ready in season and out of season. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, but we need to be ready. Praise the Lord. How do we get ready? We prepare ourselves every morning when we wake up. Praise you, Lord. You're so good. We start with praise and worship. We prepare ourselves throughout the day. When we get a chance, we open the word and look at it. You know, it surprises me how many Christians don't ever open their Bible. It is not hard to open this Bible and read two or three verses a day. That's not a difficult thing. People will spend hours and hours and hours on the internet or watching TV. It is not hard to open this and read two or three scriptures a day. But there's a lot of Christians that don't ever open the Bible. There's a lot of Christians, actually, studies show that there's a lot of Christians that don't even believe that this is the word of God, that this is whole truth. But it is the truth. Praise the Lord. This is what will help you. There ain't nothing else that's going to help you. Amen. There is nothing else that's going to change your situation. Well, praise God. The word preach here, it means to proclaim after the manner of heralds. Like heralds, you know, there would be herald, there were people that would go out into the, you know, when they, you remember the Christmas song, we hark the herald angels sing? You know, that wasn't their name, right? It wasn't herald the angel. It wasn't hark herald the angel sing. It's hark the herald angels sing. They're the ones who proclaim. They're the ones that speak out. You know, they used to call them the town crier, like the town crier, you know, was a one that would shout the news. He'd go out in the town and shout what's going on, you know. Hear ye, this kind of stuff, you know, all that old English kind of stuff. That's what it's talking about. We don't have many, well, we do kind of have heralds around, you know, praise the Lord. You go to the local saloon or the local salon, praise the Lord, either one, and you'll get like a town herald, you know, you'll hear all kinds of stuff, praise the Lord. Everybody's business, praise the Lord. We've been on it's like Facebook Live, that's what that is, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory to God, but the herald, and so to do this in the manner to proclaim after the manner of a herald, amen. Always with the suggestion of formality, gravity, and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed, amen. So we understand that preaching the word isn't just getting up and saying something, but it's proclaiming it with authority. This must be obeyed. This is the truth of God. This is the way it is. Hallelujah. This is the way we need to speak to our problems. This is the way we need to look at our situations. This is the way we need to look at life. Hallelujah. We need to preach at it. If you want to change something, then you're going to need to learn how to preach. Praise the Lord. And you're blessed because you got a preacher. Praise the Lord. As a pastor, I you know, that's kind of the flow I get into is preaching. And that's exactly what we have to do at it. Sometimes you just got to yell back at the devil. Amen. He's talking loud. You got to talk louder. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. We need to understand that this is an important thing. This is an important aspect of Christianity, of living as a Christian, is this ability to be able to preach. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many people, like I said, they get into the realm of complaining, and this is, and we're going to see this in this message, that is actually the opposite of what God that not only wants us to do, but actually God despises complaining. I said he despises complaining. He hates, he doesn't like complainers. Yeah. Ooh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's not into complaining. God doesn't like that. You will forego the blessing of God by complaining. So the next time you want to like open your mouth and complain about something, oh, it's always bad. It's always this. It's always that. Well, you better be careful, because what you're doing is you're hindering the ability of God to bless you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's turn to Romans 10. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good, right? He's still good. Still good today. God is trying to raise us up into a church that cannot be defeated. Into people that cannot be broken. Praise the Lord. As Christians, we are not broken. We are not damaged goods. We may have come in broken. We may have come in damaged. But God has placed his Holy Spirit within us, and that restores. That's a restorative act, praise the Lord. He restores us continually, amen. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Romans 10:8. Read through 10:10. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. It's near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. Hallelujah. The word of faith that we preach. What is the word of faith? The word of truth. The word that will set free. The word that breaks chains. The word that breaks bondages. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. Amen? And we preach this word, don't we? Hallelujah. Well, this is a really interesting thing for us to see, and this is a really important thing for us to understand, that it is through that preaching of that word that is actually the key that opens the door for us to go through into victory. Amen. It's near you. It's in your mouth. Of course, this is talking about these scriptures that we are reading are this is telling us all about salvation. We use these for salvation. But we understand that this is a way that we receive all that God has for us. Not just salvation, but everything. Amen. It's all found in these scriptures. Praise God. Goes on to say that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That word saved, of course, we understand that that word saved is saved from, saved from eternal death in hell. Praise the Lord. But we also understand through the study of the word that that word saved, believing on the Lord Jesus, doesn't just save us from that, but it saves us from the other calamities in life, the other trials that can come against us. It gives us victory. Where is the victory found? It's in the faith, our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. Do not think it strange that God has called his son the Word of God. The way that we get saved is the Word of God. Amen. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Amen. Well, who was the Word? Jesus Christ was the Word. Praise the Lord. It matters. We need to understand that. That's why Christians that reject the Word are Christians that are rejecting Christ. Actually, they're not Christians at all. You cannot reject this Word and then say that you believe in Jesus, because this is the very thing that tells us about Jesus. If you reject this word, you reject Christ himself. I'm just telling you the truth. The Christians that say they don't believe in the word of God are, here's a clue for you. They're not Christians. They're not believers. How can you be a believer in the very thing that you deny? You can't. It is an impossibility. Praise the Lord. One of the things I love about the things we've been taught, thank God for the church. The church helps us. Thank God for pastors. They help us. Thank God for our faith, our denomination, or whatever. Those things help us, but I'm going to tell you, those things don't save you. The Word of God saves you. You know, my wife and I were talking, and we were talking about, some unsaved people, and we were talking about how, one of the things that happens is you can go to somebody and you can start talking about, do you believe in God? And a lot of us will make this mistake if you're trying to check someone's spiritual temperature. Do you believe in God? And a lot of people will say, yeah, I believe in God. Well, that's great, you believe in God. The Bible says the demons also believe in God. Doesn't get you much. But then you ask them, those same people, you ask them, you start talking about Jesus, and they start changing the subject. They start, because when you start saying the name of Jesus, that's different. Listen, belief in God does not get people to heaven. I'm going to say this again to your shocked faces. Believing in God does not get you to heaven. It gets no man to heaven. Gets no woman to heaven, no child to heaven. Belief in God does not get you to heaven. Belief in his only son, Jesus Christ, and what he did is what gets you into heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus as God's son and that he came here and died for you, you cannot go to heaven. That's what the word tells us, amen? He is the way, the truth, and life. There is only one door to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why you'll see that. You'll see that with people who talk, oh, I believe in God. Lots of people believe in God. Muslims believe in God. Praise the Lord. The Jews believe in God. Lots of people believe in. The Hindus believe in gods. They believe in a whole bunch of gods. Oh, man, they got lists of gods, hundreds of gods. But it doesn't do any good, does it? It's belief in one God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand the importance of that. That's why when we're witnessing to people, we don't just go to somebody and say, do you believe in God? Do you know Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? Have you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I don't give a flip if you believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus? Praise the Lord. Oh, I walked the edge on that one. I believe in, praise God. Hallelujah. No. Do you believe in Jesus? It does not matter if you believe in God. Because God could be anything. The Muslims have tried to convince the world, in some ways they have, that the God they believe in, Allah, or whatever you want to say, is the same as our God. It is not the same. He is not the same. It's completely different. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. You cannot mix those two things. They don't mix. They're not even oil and water. They're like gasoline and fire. There's explosiveness there. Those two things aren't good together. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is one true God, and his son is Jesus Christ, and that's what we need to believe on. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Glad you're interested in that. We'll move on. Hallelujah. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All right? Says it there. Amen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at this. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. So what makes us righteous? What you believe in your heart. Right? That brings you into that place of being righteous. What brings you to the place where you can receive from God? Belief in your heart. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Being righteous is right thinking, being a person who is considered a right thinker. Amen. It's one who God looks at and said, yep, this person thinks right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And with the mouth, this is really important, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I like that it says unto salvation. Because it doesn't just mean like, it's not just a jump. It's not just like confession is made and there's salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. Confession continually takes you towards salvation. Now we understand, I'm not talking about salvation for eternity, because just because you're not, you're a Christian who you know, doesn't do perfectly all the time doesn't mean that you are constantly losing your salvation. I'm not saying that. But what it's saying, this word salvation isn't just talking about eternity. This salvation is talking about from the worldly distresses, from the worldly problems, from all the things that rise up against us. This is what this word salvation is for. And so we understand that with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Confession takes us to that salvation. It guarantees it. Until we see the other side, what are we to do? Preach the word. Yeah, that's what confession is. It's preaching the word. You're confessing that the truth of the word over your circumstance. You're confessing the truth of the word over the things that you see, over the things that you feel. You know, it doesn't matter what's coming against you. It doesn't look like you're going to win. Praise the Lord. The one thing I love about, and this is something that we as Christians, we struggle with sometimes. This book is full of people who are about to lose. And most of them in many circumstances far worse than you will ever face. Praise the Lord. There were impossibilities. This book is full of people who were facing impossibilities. Impossibilities. I'm not talking about things that just were hard. I'm talking they were facing impossibilities. Absolutely. That's what this book is full of. And it's also full of a bunch of people that conquered that through their belief in God, through their trust in the Lord, through their knowing of this very thing right here, that with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made until salvation. This is where the devil has duped so many Christians, because he has them believing that they can just sit there and be like they always were. They can just say the same things they always did. Listen, Christian, if you're in church, you need to change. There needs to be change. There needs to be something that happens. You need to be different than the way you were. If you're saying the same things, you need to say different things. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And notice that, I guess the way I see it too is that word unto is like a trip. Amen? It's like a process of time. Like it's a span of time. It's like, you know, if I'm going to California, we just went to California. If I'm going to California, praise the Lord, if I stop in Kansas, I didn't go to California, did I? I didn't go unto California. I went partway to California. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's the same thing. A lot of times this is what we do as Christians is we don't go all the way. We don't take confession all the way to the end. We don't keep confessing the thing that's true. We don't keep confessing what the word says. We don't keep preaching at it. What we do is we give up partway through. We give up towards the end. We say, well, it must not be so. When you're not feeling it, praise the Lord. I don't feel, I don't see it, so it must not be so. That's foolishness. Like, that's the same place that you were before you got saved. What's different from you now, between now and then? Praise the Lord. See, what people think is they think they're going to come into church and get some kind of magic pill, some kind of magic bean that they can just plant, they can take, do whatever you want with, and then all of a sudden everything's going to be hunky-dory. But that's not the way it works. There is an action that is required on our part. We have to connect to the Word. If we don't connect to what the Word says and do what it says, we will not have what the Word promises. We can't have it. And we want to be people who have victorious lives. We want to be people that are always conquering the devil and all these things, but we are not doing the word. We need to be doers of the word. Praise the Lord. And one of the things it tells us to do here is preach the word. We preach at our trials. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. John 15. John 15 and verse 7 and 8. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, everybody say abide in me. That's Jesus, not me. Praise the Lord, just in case you didn't know. I read it, but I was reading it from his perspective. I was quoting him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That's a good word right there. Look, what he said. Do you believe that Jesus said this? Oh, there's all kinds of people, all kinds of good religious people that try to refute this idea right here. I don't know how you can refute it. Why? Because the Bible's very clear. He didn't mince words here. He said it very clearly. If you abide in me, if, right? That's the if. That's the first part. If. There's a big if. If means if. If doesn't mean that you just get this automatically. If doesn't mean that you win this because you call yourself a Christian. If doesn't mean because you came to church today. If means if you do what it says to do. If you abide in Jesus and his words abide in you. How do you abide in Jesus? By abiding in his words. Jesus is the word, right? Praise the Lord. And my words abide in you. That means that there's so much in you that that's what comes out. That's what about, you know, when I live in my house, praise the Lord, you don't live in my house. We had some people over our house the other night, right? We had a couple people over our house the other night. They don't abide there. Praise the Lord. If you had come that night when they were leaving, you would have seen that they came out. Yeah. Right? When they were leaving, if you showed up when they were leaving, praise the Lord, 12:30 in the morning, is that what it was? Hallelujah. Praise. We just had a good old time. Hallelujah. But they were leaving at 12:30 in the morning. And if you were there at that time, you would have seen, I'm not saying anything bad about that. It's just, you know, we were having a good time. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I got other stories about that night. That was good stuff happening. But anyways, if you had showed up there at 12:30 in the morning, you would have seen that they were coming out of the house, but they don't abide there. You go show up 12:30 this morning, I guarantee you they won't be coming out at 12:30 this morning. Praise the Lord. I might not be coming out at 12:30, but if you went there day after day after day, you would see that I come out of the house every single day. My wife comes out of the house every single day. My kids come out of the house every single day. My dog comes out of the house every single day. Amen. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? We all abide there. We abide there, and we can come out. When we come out, you know that we're coming out, or you know that we abide there because we constantly come out. Amen. You know who abides there by who constantly comes out. Praise the Lord. You also know visitors by who doesn't constantly come out. Amen. It's not hard to determine that. Amen. If you got neighbors, you like looking at your neighbors, binoculars, or however you look at your neighbors. They got people coming over. You're like, you know who abides there. Yeah, don't do that. Praise the Lord. It's just a joke. But you know who abides there, and you know who's that over there? Who they got over this time? Who's over there, you know, because we got to do that's a good neighborly thing to do. It's to spy on your neighbors, right? Praise the Lord. Well, that's how we got some of them in church. We just kept watching, watching everything you guys do. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a joke. But you know who abides there by who continually comes out. So the same thing with the words. You know if God's words abide in you by what continually comes out. What comes out of your mouth? You know, if it's constantly swearing, if it's constantly this, if it's constantly that, if it's all kinds of worldly things, then you know what's abiding in that person. Why? Because it's always coming out. Praise the Lord. Is victory coming out of your mouth? If victory is coming out of your mouth, then you know Jesus abides in you. Why? Because Jesus don't lose. He never loses. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? That's not Jesus. Jesus never asked, what am I going to do? You know what Jesus did? He always told them what we're going to do. Yeah. So, Master, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. Why did he do it? He said the same things he did, we can do. Why? Because he knew the word. Yeah. It's really easy to know the word when you are the word. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But he didn't just know it because he was it. Amen. He was it because he knew it. Amen. He knew God. He understood God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we have to understand this. If Jesus' words are constantly coming out of our mouth, then we know we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us. So what do we do? He said, well, Pastor Jeff, my life don't look like that. Get it to look like that. Yeah. How do you do that? Start getting into the word. Start changing what you're saying. When you're aware of it, speak something different. Start doing something different. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I know we're creatures of habit, but we've all done something different at some point. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we see this. This is the truth here. This is the truth that we need to understand. If you abide in my word and my words abide in you, if those things happen, so you know what's coming out. Okay, it's coming out as Jesus. It's always everything that person always says, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's everything that Jesus said. It's what the direction of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. It's good godly instruction. Praise the Lord. What do we know about that? We know that God's abiding in him. And then what do we know about this? If that's the case, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Many Christians are saying, well, I don't believe this because I don't see this. And the reason many Christians don't see this is because they don't abide in Jesus. They don't abide in the word. They don't allow him to abide in them. Like the Lord, his desire is to abide in you. His desire is to make you his temple, to make you his home. That's what the Bible declares to us so evidently, that God's desire is this. But people push it away because they want to hang on to the things of the world. Listen, the world is not a bad place, and we can enjoy all these things. We got to get over that mess. But we have to get over the mess of doing things the way the world always does. Because what we do is we block what we desire being done for us. See, God wants us. And see, this is why God can say this so strongly here. Because if Jesus is abiding in you, then what you desire will never be wrong. I said, if Jesus is abiding in you, if you are living for God, if you got Jesus abiding on the inside of you, the things you desire will never be ungodly. And so you never even have to question it. So then when you go to God, you know, because he abides in you, because his word abides in you, you know that he will, you already know he'll answer you because the word says it. Because you know it's good. You know the desires are of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Doesn't Psalm 37 tell us the same thing? It says that he'll give us the desires of our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm happy for that. I'm excited that I get the desires. You know, some people, they'll look at people like us and they'll say, they'll get mad at us. Some Christians, a lot of Christians, will get mad at us because we're living in the blessing of the Lord. We're abiding in him. So why would the word not work for us? You don't have to understand how. It doesn't matter how. Praise the Lord. Some people think, some people think that we have all the things we have because of the church. We don't have, we don't see the offering as far as it doesn't come to us. We don't have, I have a set salary and that's all I get. Praise the Lord. And for that matter, we give all that back. So it doesn't really matter anyways. What we gain is not a matter of what the church gives us. What we gain is a matter of what God does in us because we follow his word. And it's the same thing with everybody else. Everybody has access to the same thing. But see, what people want to do is people want to sit around and complain. They want to point at other people and say, why don't I have that? Or why don't I deserve. You don't deserve nothing if you ain't got Jesus abiding in you. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You don't deserve anything if you don't have Jesus. Why? Because you aren't worth anything. You don't believe me. Let's flip over to Romans 5:8. We went there last night, but we might as well just go there today. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll hold your place here, though, because I want to go back there. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us when we were worth nothing. And so if we don't receive Jesus, we're still worth nothing. Praise the Lord. If we don't receive what Jesus has for us, we're still worth nothing. Without Christ, I am nothing. Praise the Lord. I am nothing. There's nothing worthy. I am not worthy in my own accord. There's nothing about me that is deserving of anything from God. There is no blessing of God's that I deserve because just because I've been born into this world. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We'll flip back there. I'm glad you're excited about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the truth, though. Amen. But see, this is the flip side of that. If we just live for God, then we are worthy because he makes us righteous. Hallelujah. It isn't about what we did. It's about what he did. But he does it. Amen. But look what he continues to say. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Notice that this scripture in context is right after doing everything for you that you desire. God is glorified when you are blessed. God is glorified when you ask something and you receive it and you can say, woohoo, look at me, I got something from God, glory to God, God loves me most, look what God's doing in my life, ha ha, just follow God and you'll be just like me, praise the Lord. God is glorified when you look good, if you do it his way. By this, Jesus said it, how else could you take this? By this, by what? By you getting what you desire when you ask. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. In fact, he says, so you will be my disciples. That's also an important part of this verse. Because what that means is, you will be, the proof of your discipleship is when you're walking out the things that God promised. Which includes having your prayers answered. Which includes receiving those things that you've asked for, that you've desired. Amen? Now, this is something I wanted to share with you. This word ask is important because a lot of times Christians make a disconnect on asking and prayer. Again, so often we pray, we have been taught to pray wrong. We go to God begging, but that's not what we're supposed to do. Praise the Lord. This word ask also means to call for. Do you know what calling for is? When I call for something, when I call for my kids, this is how we do it in my household. You want to know how we do it in my household? When I call for my kids, I don't receive a response of, what do you want? No. When I call for my kids, they come find out what I want. When I call that, why? Because I demand it. I command it. Although we need a little bit more of this in this world today. The kids actually listen. Well, who came up with the bright idea to put kids in charge? Who came up with this idea to put kids in charge? Like they have anything good to say. Like, kids have a lot of cute things to say, but they have no good direction. I certainly am not taking direction from a teenager. Right. Have you listened to how stupid teenagers can be? I mean, they can be smart. The most intelligent teenagers, we love them. I'm not talking bad about them. I'm not saying that we just despise them. But for God's sakes, have you listened to the ideas of teenagers? I've had my kids over the years come up with lots of great things, man. I'm telling you what, our house would be purple with unicorns coming out of it if we listened to kids. Hallelujah. But that wouldn't be a good plan. Kids don't come up with good ideas. They come up with cute ideas. They come up with funny things. You know, the we make videos about the things kids say. You never see videos about the things that good adults say.
No.
Right? But the things kids say, what do? We laugh and giggle about it. But we don't use that as instruction for our lives. For God's sakes, praise the Lord. Call for. It means to call. To ask means to call for. What do you preach? What are you calling for? What are you demanding? And that's what it means in the sense of, listen, I'm not saying going up to God and say, hey, you, up there in heaven, I want you to give me something. You need to do this right now. That's not what I'm talking about. But when we call for what we desire, when we speak out, actually the Bible tells us that when we speak out, that we speak to those things, just like God did, right? We speak to those things that don't exist as though they did. Amen? Praise the Lord. And God will, he honors that faith, because that's what God does. He honors faith. And God's waiting for our faith to be able to say something. We need to change our own situation. We need to call for our own situation to change. Amen? Not begging God to change it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that God has already done everything he's going to do. He is not doing anything more. What we have to do is connect to what he's already done. When we connect to what he's already done, the answer is there. When we connect to what God has already done, when we call for what God has already done, he said that you inherit something, right? He tells us that we are heirs we are heirs after Jesus, right? So if we're heirs after Jesus, when you're an heir, you don't listen. When you're an heir to something, you don't ask for that thing. It's just given to you. You're an heir. It's yours. It belongs to you. The title is yours. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glad you're happy about that. Praise God. It's yours. What God has promised is already yours. What God has promised is already yours. You're asking God to give you what he's already given you. It's like me coming up to you, give you $100 and say, Pastor Jeff, will you give me $100? You say, well, I just did. No, will you give me, you don't understand, I need $100. Will you give me $100? Oh, I just gave you $100. No, you don't understand, I need $100. That's what Christians are doing when they're going to God praying. They're praying, Lord, answer this for me. Answer this. Will you answer this? Maybe God doesn't want to answer it. They're preaching against the word. They're preaching like the devil. They're preaching the wrong things. God has already answered it. He's already told you what he'll do. He's already told you what he'll give you. If God didn't want you healed, he'd tell you he didn't want you healed. Why? Because God's told us everything we need to know in this book, which, by the way, is our inheritance, which, by the way, a lot of times just sits on the shelf collecting dust. Now, mine got a little dust this week, but because it was collecting dust, it's because my son was sanding drywall. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we wipe it off or wear it off. But we don't want the Bibles to just sit there collecting dust and not know what it ever said. Promises that are made to us that we are to walk in. Yeah. God intends that we walk in them. I said he intends that we walk in them. It's not even, it's a slap in the face of God if we don't walk in the promises of God. Why? Because he's done it all. He's given you the gift, and then it's just a matter of you either accepting it or refusing it.
Right.
Amen. Mark 11:22. Praise the Lord. Notice how many times here we're seeing red letters too. What is that? We know that those are counted as the words of Jesus himself. So even though the word all applies to us, the whole word is the word of God, is the word of Jesus. We understand that. But these are specifically they're quotations of the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. What that means is that Jesus is saying this stuff as a matter of a fact, and yet all these people that run around saying they believe in Jesus don't even believe these very things that he says. When you pray, God, if it be your will, if you're praying that way, you are praying not in line with the Word, you are praying in line with the devil. Yeah. Why? Because you are praying outside the will of God already. Yeah. God said, know my will. He wants you to know his will. Yeah. He did not give us his word so we would not know what he wanted us to do. And this is what Christians say. You just want to slap them sometimes because they say things like, well, that's how you interpret it and stuff like that. No, like, God didn't give us something so hard to understand that we need 15,000 different kinds of interpreters and we can look at it from 50,000 different angles. When he said that you give you the desires of your heart if you abide in him and his word abides in you, that's not hard to understand. You ain't got to interpret that many different ways. But the fact of the matter is most Christians do not live with his word abiding in them. Praise God. You know how I know? Because of the way they act. They're not coming out of the right house. They're coming out of the wrong house. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Mark 11:22. Praise the Lord. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Some translations say have the faith of God. I love that. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. Have the faith of God. Have faith in God. Either one, you can still get good stuff out of it. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whomever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, right? He will have whatever he says. Whatever he says. So what can we take out of the scripture? Whatever you say and believe, that's what you'll have. So let me ask you something. What if you're saying the wrong thing? That's what you're going to have. Why do most people not have the will of God or the plan of God in their life? Because they're not saying the right thing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sometimes it's not easy to say the right thing. Sometimes it's very difficult to say the right thing. Sometimes it's very difficult for me to say, God, I will serve you with my whole heart, with my whole life. I'll give you my whole life. It's very difficult for me to say that, but I still say it. Why? Because it's right. Because I know that that's where I connect to God. Amen. It's not always easy to say, and then to do it. Of course, we have to back it up with doing it. And sometimes that's even harder on our flesh. But we still have to work this thing out. Amen. We still have to work towards this. It's not always easy to come hear the word of God. It's not always easy to wake up Sunday morning and get there. But we did it. We all did it. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. You did it. Praise the Lord. Why'd you do it? Because you knew that there was something here for you. Amen. And this message will change your life. If you just learn that you got to start preaching it. Praise the Lord. Now, every time I see Jesus or Moses or any of these other people going up to people, I never see him going up to them like timidly, right? They weren't going up to, I don't think that he means go up to the mountain and be like, move mountain. Just. You know what I mean? How many Christians are like that in their faith? They're like, devil, get out of my way. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I got a little rat dog. What do they call those? Little Yorkie. Miniature Yorkie. Call her rat. Call her scumbag sometimes, too. I say it nice, though, so she doesn't get it. You know what I mean? The dogs are kind of scumbags, you know? They're a little bit like that. But so I got this little rat dog. I'm going to tell you something. She won't even move if I just go like that. But I'll tell you what. If I speak up, she get moving real quick. I'll tell you what. She gets on the couch, and my wife walks in the room. You see that dog move. Hallelujah. She ain't even got to speak. Hallelujah. What are you doing up here? Whang! It's gone. Hallelujah. Because she knows she's not allowed on that couch. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you just say, but you know, if you just talk real sweet, and see, that's the way I call her scumbag. I'm like, oh, you little scumbag, you know, like that. Like if I say, yeah, of course, that's just a joke. I just like to be ridiculous sometimes, but what's that? Yeah, don't do that to your kids. That's not good. Unless they don't speak words yet, then you can do it. That's a joke. Oh my gosh. Praise the Lord. But, you know, like if you speak soft, you speak softly and gentle, you know. That's why I can't stand this Lily society that we're in. Oh, my God, where everybody's just, oh, you offended me or this hurts my feelings and all this stuff. It's like, oh, dear Jesus. Dear Jesus, come into my church. Let me hurt your feelings. I'll do it. I swear to God, I'll do it. Just start. I can't stand that stuff. Why? Because it doesn't do anything. What if you think about these amazing men and women that have gone to battle and stuff. What if they went on the battlefield and were like, oh, you're hurting my feelings. You know, you look at the way drill instructors train. There's a reason they train that way, and it's not because they hate the people that they're training. They train that way because they're putting something in them, putting boldness and strength in them, amen? And so we have to understand this. That sometimes we as Christians, I mean, I'm all about, we're hugging church, praise the Lord. In fact, I was thinking during when she was talking about this, we need to get signs. We need to get signs. Everybody gets a different card. You get to pick which card you get, amen? But there's one or two cards. You get one that says hugger or one that says not a hugger, amen? And somebody coming up to you and you just go like that. If you're not a hugger, it's not a hugger. Ooh, okay. Praise the Lord. But we'll hug you. Praise the Lord. I'll hug anybody. I don't care. I like hugging people. Hugging's my thing. Not so much hers, but it's mine. Amen. I love hugging people. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's good. That's fine in its context. Amen. We're greeting and stuff like that. But man, I'm telling you something. If you need something to move in your life, you don't need me hugging you. You don't need a hug. If you got sickness on your body, you need boldness, you don't need a hug. I'm just telling you, I'll hug somebody who's sick. You know, don't get me wrong what I'm saying. I believe in, the Bible says to cry with those who are crying. Amen. But, or to weep with those who weep or whatever, and to rejoice with those who rejoice. But, it's a good thing to do that stuff, but we got to keep it all in context. Amen. There's times when we need to break out and get bold. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly when I want something to move. I don't just look at it and say, just whisper to it, talk softly to it. No, I'm going to get bold with it. Yeah. Say, move. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Got addiction in your life of any kind. How do you move it? You start speaking to it. Yeah. Start speaking to it. Say, I'm not accepting this. I'm not, no, you don't belong here. Get bold with it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Bible says you'll have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Well, if you go to prayer not believing whether or not you'll get them, you won't probably get them. Because that's not the way faith works. That's not the way the blessing of the Lord works. Amen? Well, praise God. It's the truth. We need to preach at our situation. We need to speak to it. We need to get bold with things. We need to understand. Listen, you say, well, I don't have scripture on everything. I give you enough scripture in one sermon that will keep you busy for the next month. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you come every week, then you are going to be way ahead of the game. Yeah. Why? Because we preach according to the Holy Ghost. Yeah. He's telling me to preach things. He's giving me things to preach that will change your lives. Everything that you're going to do, God is preparing you every single week. When you show up to church for any service, God is preparing you for what's coming next. Every single time. That's why we go to church, amen? Because when we go to church, God is preparing me for the future. How do I know that? Because I don't even know how to do everything, but I seek God. I say, God, what do you want the people to know? What do you need the people to get? Praise the Lord. And for this group of people, he's placed me here to do it, amen? And when we follow that, when we learn to connect to that, then we start realizing, well, wait a minute, just the scriptures. If you study nothing else during the week, but just the scriptures you got on a Sunday, just take a few notes, write them down. It's not hard. And even if you did get back, we have archives even. We make it so stinking easy for people to walk in victory. So easy. We got archives. People back then didn't have all this. We got the written word. We got multiple versions. We got multiple services. We got preachers. We got archives, internet archives. Praise the Lord. What's that? We give out Bibles. Praise the Lord. We don't hide the truth from people. We're like getting it in your hands. Amen. Praise. We put it up here. If you don't understand how much work and much money just to put scriptures on the screen. I mean, Jesus didn't have this. I bet they wish he did, but Jesus didn't even have this. What a wonderful blessing. Praise the Lord. If we didn't even want to bring our Bible to church, which you should, but if you didn't want to bring your Bible to church, you at least got the scriptures up there. Oh, praise the Lord. Isaiah 55. What time am I supposed to end? 10. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Did I tell you my favorite yet? I think you know that, huh? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you are my favorite. Praise God. But she told me I could have as much time as I wanted. You gave me a time limit. No, just as a joke. Yeah, that's right. Woo. Praise God, hallelujah. Yeah, we can laugh at church. It's all right. Isaiah 55:10. Praise God. Look what the Lord says. He even said this in the Old Testament. You know, I just love the book of Isaiah. There are so many goodies in this book. Praise God for it. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. This is not just poetic. This is saying something important. As the rain comes down and purposes to do something, that's what he's saying ultimately here. You know, obviously we know that the rain, the water does cycle back up to the earth to do it all over again. That's not what he's saying. But what it's trying to declare here is that the rain comes down and has a purpose when it comes down. Amen. You know, one of the things that we see, you know, California, Southern California, is actually they had been in drought for years. And so every time I've gone out there, all you see is brown. It's just brown, brown. It's still beautiful. It's an amazing landscape, but it's all brown. But this time when we went out there, because they've had all this rain lately, everything is green. And it's amazing how you can take something that was desert, something that looks like you would think there's nothing good that could live there. And as soon as there's a little bit of water, as soon as there's a little bit of influx of life, man, it just comes back to life. That's the same way we are. You know, this is why the Holy Spirit is compared to water. Because the Holy Spirit is our life. We get a little shot of the Holy Ghost, amen, and he can restore things that have been dry and dusty and broken and cracked. Hallelujah. He can restore it right back to life, just like that. Praise the Lord. That's what church does for us, amen? Praise the Lord. So as it does this, and it has purpose, right? So this is really important to understand this. I can't emphasize this enough. As, the Bible says, as the rain comes down, and creates all this growth and all this life, as it does this, as it has that purpose, right? Yeah. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. This is the Lord speaking. It shall not what? Return to me void. How does God's word return to him? When you preach it. When you speak it. When you get so bold, you say, you know what? The Word of God, this doesn't line up with the Word of God. I'm going to start speaking what the Word of God says. Yeah. My situation doesn't look like this. Have you ever read the Word and thought, man, I wish that happened to me? Yeah. See, this is where we make a mistake. That's our disconnect. We're supposed to connect. Wait a minute. I read this. This is my reality. My life is not. This is my reality. What's happening is not. The Word is my reality, so I'm going to start speaking my reality. Why? Because that's what God told us to do. He said, so shall it be. Praise the Lord. As the rain comes down and creates. This is exactly what my word does. It goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. It will prosper, but it has to return to him. Amen. For you shall go. Oh, praise the Lord. That's where we're going to end up. So we understand that it is us, it's our mouths that return the word back to the Lord. That's what he's looking for. That's what God, because God is looking for, God is moved by faith and only faith. He is not moved by tears. He is not moved by wailing and crying. He is moved by faith. Amen. Actually, if you look at the Israelites, if they had just gotten into faith, they wouldn't have been in bondage for 400 years by the Egyptians. They would have moved out a lot quicker. Why? Because faith always moves the hand of God. Praise the Lord. That's what he's designed it to do. Amen. Say, why does it matter? Because God wants us to trust him. Plain and simple. But people don't trust God. And when you don't trust God, you won't speak his word. You won't do what he says. Why do we talk about responding in church? Because responding in church, again, I told you before, church is the place we practice. If you won't praise in church, you won't praise at home. If you won't respond in church, you're not going to respond at home. What are you going to do when the trial comes? Are you going to respond? You need to know how to respond, and you need to respond correctly. It all matters how you respond. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 10. I know the feeling. Listen, this week I injured my back. Some of you know that. I couldn't even, for 3 days, I couldn't even move off of my couch. I couldn't walk across the room. I mean, it was that bad, the injury was. And I certainly wasn't sure if I could even, you know, naturally speaking, if I could preach. As I was laying there in extreme pain this week, the last thing I wanted to do was do the word. The last thing I wanted to do was praise the Lord. You know what I mean? The last thing I wanted to do, I wasn't praising the Lord for my injury. I was praising the Lord for healing. I didn't want to do these things, but I did do these things. And even as I did it more, even as I spoke the word more, as I spoke at it more, what happened is I saw restoration faster. I've seen this before. I've seen other ministers who have been ill. There's been times, there'll be times where you could come to the pulpit ill, but you get up there under the anointing, praise the Lord. And that's why I determined that I would preach this weekend, because I was going to get under that anointing and let God fully restore me. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's amazing that I can move even like I'm doing right now, because I couldn't even walk. I mean, literally could not walk. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I had to have help getting up. Yeah. Amen. I had to have help sitting up. It was that bad. But God is good. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Read all the way through verse 11. We can do it. Praise the Lord. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. This is talking about when they were coming out of Egypt, right? They had the sea. They walked across as dry land, and they were led by the cloud. Amen? Praise the Lord. All ate the same spiritual food. It's talking about manna. They were in a wilderness. They had no food, and God supernaturally provided food. So he supernaturally provided their way out of Egypt, supernaturally provided a way across the Red Sea, supernaturally provided food. None of these things they had. It was an impossibility that they were going to walk out. Do you know when they walked out of Egypt, they didn't just walk out of Egypt, the land that had them in captivity, but as they were walking out, the Egyptians were piling money on them, gold and silver and all these things. Yeah, they're saying, go, and here, take all our money too. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that flowed that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Of course, we know that Moses hit the rock, and the rock gave them water, but also it's talking about Jesus. Amen. It's symbolic of Jesus coming. Amen. Type in shadow. Thank you. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Why would this be? Right? Now, these things became our examples. Right? This is important. These are our examples. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Okay? So that's important to know. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. These are all the people of God that he wanted to rescue. Yeah. But look what's happened. They got destroyed. Why? Not because of what he did. Not because of his will. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Praise the Lord. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And so we see that here, they were destroyed. Why were they destroyed? Because they were complaining against things instead of speaking the word, instead of staying in faith. These people were complainers, amen? The ones that God just rescued. Many of us are ones God just rescued, amen? Praise the Lord. God has rescued us, and yet we still complain about stuff. We don't have anything to complain about because we've been given everything. But see, if we don't believe that we've been given everything, it's a lot easier to complain, amen? Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:14. We're nearing the end here. Philippians 2:14. I'm just capping this off, just so you understand. Because where does complaining also come from? It comes out of your mouth. Yeah. Philippians 2:14 through 16. Do all things. Everybody say, do all things.
Do all things.
Without complaining and disputing.
Yeah.
Yep. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What is he saying? You're holding fast. How do you hold fast the word of life? You're speaking the truth. With your words, you're speaking it out. Why do you think it's called the word? Because a word is supposed to be spoken. Words are not supposed to be silent. Praise the Lord. Words are supposed to be spoken. Amen. But it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Two things that will run your life in ruin are complaining and disputing. This is why we know as a husband and wife, the best thing that we can do is get over whatever grief we have with each other really quickly. Why? Because it hinders our prayers. It hinders what God wants to do in our life. It always does. If you're going to complain and dispute, then that's exactly what you're going to get. It's better to go with the flow of God than to try to fight against it. Amen? God will bless you. Even if you were right and you decide to yield, God will bless you more because you took the road of being at peace and being in rest than to be complaining. He hates when people complain and dispute. Amen. We don't want to we don't want to run in vain. I don't want to labor in vain. Praise the Lord. The reason we preach this word is so that people are made strong in Christ. So they're made strong in the faith. So we can do all that God has called us to do. God has called us to do so much. I have seen things. I've been getting things recently. I've been getting future things that God wants to do, and he's doing it through this work. Praise the Lord. There's great and wonderful things. Corey is just the beginning of that. But there's great and wonderful things. There's towns. There's people to reach. There's healings. There's all kinds of things for us to do. But we can't get it if we're not going to flow together. We're not going to do it if we're going to sit there and constantly just be looking for a way to get out of the trial. We need to just get ourselves out of the trial by putting the word to work in our lives. Amen. And as we do that, we're going to walk into all that God has for us. Amen.